Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'll be joined by Harold Evans of Arenda. We're going to talk about getting through this current season with the trichlor shortage, and Harold is going to offer some alternatives to trichlor for you to manage your pools. We're going to also touch on some things you can do as a pool service pro to kind of get educated and understand water chemistry to the point where you can see that the reliance on trichlor tablets may have not been a good thing to begin with, and how you can move away from that moving forward. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's Wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's Wholesale account is Leslie's Referral Program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Also receive priority service, enhanced rebate programs, a discount on your general liability insurance through Spa, a discount on your pool routing software through Skimmer, and an opportunity to co-brand with Leslie's on your social media, website, truck, and more. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. So I'm joined today by Harold Evans of Arenda Technologies. How are you doing today, Harold?
I'm doing great.
Hey, glad to have you back. It's been a while since we chatted. I think the last time we talked, I was getting tips from you from the Texas deep freeze, and I made a little video with all your suggestions in it, so I appreciate that. And do you want to give your background as far as you in the industry and where you're coming from?
So my current status is parts delivery and heater haul-off man in post-freeze Texas. We took the annual sales of the last 10 years and plugged them into 2 months. So it is an unbelievable time of disproportionate bedlam and a largely unsatisfiable marketplace in the pool repair business. So I am Arenda, but I've really been the pool surgeon. My Arenda has suffered a little bit. Because what's happening right now is that front and center, there are more pools to repair than there are people and equipment to repair them with. And with my friends across the country as the Arenda Fellow, they're suffering with a supply issue that is not unique to Texas. It's all over this country, left, right coast, north or south. Everything's the same. It's just that the hyper demand of Texas and the valve damage and equipment damage was disproportionate. The pandemic had created demands that were far in excess of the market's ability to begin with. And then we had a fire and the habit of trichlor has been disrupted. And we're here today to reinvent ourselves. So I'm really the pool surgeon more than Arenda the last few months. I have to take my hat off and go back to my old life or my new life or my old life, whatever you want to call it. And I, every time Catherine, our sales manager from the West Coast, talks to me, I'm hauling off or putting on a heater. So I'm today going to switch my hat to the first love that I have, which is changing the way the world thinks about water at Arenda. So thanks for having me, David. You're a thought leader, and you were doing podcasts before they were popular. So you are the grand poupon, the father of the podcast. It was before it was cool. You were cool.
I appreciate that. And so that kind of leads into the question about the trichlor shortage. You mentioned the little fire, which was probably a big fire in terms of the fact that it wiped out the trichlor supply as we know it in this country. The reliance on trichlor in California is pretty high. Texas, of course, is really big because you have those giant 35,000, 40,000 gallon pools, common, very common there. And it's just been a habit to just fill up the photo with tablets and kind of use them as one news reporter called them, magic. You know, he considered the way they slow dissolve and keep a chlorine level. But of course, with the shortage, and as today, I just got some prices. Arizona, $189 for a bucket of tabs. Long Island, no tablets at all in New York. So your products, of course, are going to be in the forefront now because they do, as what I call, enhance chlorine in the pool. They'll make it last longer and work more effective. So you want to touch on the shortage and also touch on how your phosphate PR10000 and your enzyme, the CV600, can really help move the needle out there in a situation where algae is going to be a huge issue this season, I think.
The grand gorilla to kill algae is chlorine. We, because of habit, have come to believe that trichlor is chlorine. And it is, but it's only one form of chlorine. And in Texas in particular, bleach, as we know it, or whatever you want to call it, I know some of you are sensitive to what that's called, hypochlorous acid in the form of liquid, calcium, or rather hypochlorite, was not a highly used product, and most other markets do. And from what I can see, the abundance of chlorine as we know it is still there. The abundance of the habit that we formed, I call it the heroin of chlorine, is trichlor, and your dealer just cut short your supply. So you're going to have to, the methadone is going to have to be something besides trichlor and dichlor. So I think it's a good thing, not so much as a company selling products, but as a person that believes in a certain habit, the way we want to fix water, the way we want to change the way the world thinks about water. Trichlor is an awkward conversation. Not that it doesn't work, not that it isn't a relevant product to use, but it's being overused. And I think that's the key, is trichlor became the new addiction that we always overdo things when we like things. So something's good, we use more. And pretty soon we looked up and trichlor, what it was intended for, went past its goal and it was overused. And suddenly we have accumulations of stabilizer that's largely accepted by most conventional thinking is affecting killing speed of chlorine and all the conversations that center around that. So the bottom line is the only way man or woman change is because most of the time they're forced to. It'd be nice if they did it for the right reasons, just because it's better water quality. But the truth is the habit is going to be forced out of them. And the availability is going to control that. And all of the outrage and all the panic about trichlor, in my view, is largely overdone because not that they're not, that it's not real, it is real. But the habit is going to be forced to change. So get with it and change. Change for the right reasons. Change because you're going to have to, but it's going to be good in the end. Because the new habit is going to be more scientific. It's going to be more driven by why than what. Most of us react to what? I believe we should be reacting to why. And so why do we use sanitizer? Not to do all the things that we want it to do. And for example, not necessarily to affect oxidant demand, as an example, but to kill disease. And so I think there are enhancers out there that can assist in the process of the distractions that chlorine get, which is kind of how I see it. It's not that chlorine can't affect those things. They can. It just takes incredibly massive doses of that. And there's better ways to manage the water in a more orderly way. It's like taking blood pressure medicine and expecting it to affect your blood sugar. So when we start looking at the things that we're targeting and what we're trying to accomplish, getting things out of the way of chlorine in order for chlorine to do its amazing job it does, which is to instantly kill things that hurt people, is what we're faced with right now. So if you're using chlorine for everything under the sun to affect water quality, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have to change your habit. So whether it, no matter who it is the provider of or the manufacturer of, and as you know, David, I'm not a big proponent of features and benefits sells about my products, but our products and other companies' products that assist in oxidant demand in the process will provide for more efficiency and will provide for the opportunity to use unstabilized chlorine-like bleach in a more judicious and targeted way. So it's a good thing. And I think in the end, we'll have a better habit as a result of it. So I don't see it as a negative. I see it as a habit interruption, an anxiety producer for habit, but there's help. There's a cure to your situation that doesn't center around your old habit. And it's hard to break old habits. And that's really what we're talking about, is ripping the security blanket of a given process away from the professional and from the homeowner. And the panic that it's created will provide a better benefit in the end. So I'm happy about it. I'm not mad about it. We've never used bleach in the Texas market for the most part. One of the cool things about bleach is, and I've used CalHypo for 35 years, CalHypo clouds the water. and affects oxidation. But it, you know, you always know you've been there because water is torched. It's cloudy. The nice thing about bleach, especially the pools that were down that had no circulation, you can pour bleach in the pool, liquid chlorine, whatever you want to call it. And at the end of the day, it's going to affect the water quality, and it's going to remain clear in its impact on the water. So I think it's exciting for Texas. I think Texas will see an encroachment of the use of liquid chlorine over what it has in the past, because we're going to be forced to. So it's a happy time.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there about the cyanuric acid in the tablets. You didn't really focus on that too much, but I think one of the problems that is going to be out there is that since the trichlor tablets, you need a lot of free chlorine for them to be effective, and there's going to be a lot of pools with high cyanuric acid levels going into the season. This will lead to algae blooms, I think, to a point where you've never seen this kind of algae before, I think, because of the fact that, you know, for a pool with a 150 COI level, you need to have, 15, 20 parts per million of chlorine in there. You can't do that unless you put 4 or 5 gallons of liquid chlorine in there. So what would be some ways? I know people are opposed to draining pools, which I don't understand that either. What would be some ways for the pool pro to kind of manage the algae out there that's going to eventually happen with the fact that trichlor is not going to be able to be used in the way it was in the past?
Well, in our Arend Academy, we talk about oxidant demand, and not to plug us, but if you really wanted the deep dive explanation for that, that takes a while, go to Academy and watch the oxidant demand video. It's a very detailed view of what causes the reactions in swimming pools and what the hierarchy of things in the water that we manage are. But let me just say this. In the use of trichlor in the old habit, if you didn't have 10 parts per million chlorine when you left, you're not telling the truth. If you had 20, you might not still be telling the truth. So we've overchlorinated for a lot of years. And another thing that we talk about by video and by blog is the 6 bad habits. And I think the 6 bad habits is an important consideration in what we're talking about now. And that is, precision is king, and we've been approximators. So using a precise amount, given your given your gallons, given the amount of required material, whatever you're putting in a more controlled way, is going to control your costs. And I think a lot of times we've overdone things rather than underdone things because we don't measure, which then runs up our overhead. And that's what everybody's fearful about now, is how are they going to manage the overhead given these cost increases and not get choked out in their business. So that answer to that question is deeper than the podcast can be for the few minutes that we're going to talk about it. What I would say is that it's more important than ever that you educate yourself through your manufacturers and through the various sources of education that are out there. It's high time to get an understanding, a better understanding of what you do and why you do what you do, not just what you do. So we've been a what you do industry as long as I've been in it. And I think we've been less of why you do. And so we use trichlor because it was served a purpose to begin with. And suddenly it's the cure-all, and we're putting 6 tabs in a 20,000 gallon pool, and our cyanuric levels are over the top. The algae problems that exist in part will happen because of the over-treatment of cyanuric and swimming pools, and the fact that the free available chlorine is being impacted by these high levels of cyanuric, and the unstabilized chlorine actually will be locked onto very quickly by the available cyanuric that's in the water. So using an unstabilized chlorine is probably another blessing, because it's going to not add to the stabilizer level and still attach and remain available to the pool in the future. But we've always over-treated in order to overcome, and we just didn't know why.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And that website would be arendatech.com, and they can pull up that video. And I suggest they go over there to learn more about the relation between cyanuric acid and the free chlorine level. And back in the day, I guess it was called chlorine lock. I don't know if that's a term that's used anymore nowadays, but we used to use that back in, the early 2000s.
We used it because we didn't know what it was. It's like you died of natural causes versus a hyphenated description today. So the autopsy of today is different than the autopsy of 20 years ago. The thing we know that causes things is much more involved than we first realized. I think chlorine lock was a way for us to deal with something we didn't understand. Lock as I know it is probably not a proper way to look at it, but that's the best we had at the time.
Yeah. And then, you know, for the algae issues, I really like using the phosphate remover and the enzyme as a way to kind of get pools over the edge. I'm not a big fan of standard algicides anymore. I know that phosphate removers aren't technically an algicide, but they do help in the treatment of algae. Can you explain the relationship between the phosphate remover and how that actually helps with a pool with algae? It's not going to remove existing algae,
right? Well, the EPA really doesn't allow us a chance to have that discussion, so I'm not going to have that discussion. I'm going to say this. The best algicide that was ever invented is HOCl.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. So if you want to know how to get rid of algae, then get your chlorine to doing what it's intended to do, and you will get rid of the algae. The things that we add to the water, it's a little bit tricky to get into that discussion. And quite frankly, I am reluctant to get involved in any discussion that relates to the conversation of algae, other than to say, you pick the habit of the thing that you do to deal with what you do when you do it. So I'm not going to have that discussion because I really can't.
Yeah, I understand that the
you can say what you want to, David, but you know, as a manufacturer, have a different responsibility.
Exactly, and I understand your position, and I've had this talk with other people in the industry, and basically, you can see it you can see that it works, it's effective, but you can't say it's effective, which is weird, but that's just how it is with the rules of this country, like anything. But I can say from my own experience that it's a highly effective way to treat algae without algicide. And of course, chlorine is a huge factor. And then the free chlorine level with the cyanuric acid factored in there is also a pretty huge part of it. I think overall, if you mentioned education, and I think you mentioned that a lot of pool professionals don't know why they do things. And I think one of the biggest things that Arenda is out there in the forefront is showing that there is a reason for everything. And so a pool that has algae in it and a chlorine level of 10 parts per million, there's a reason for that to happen, right?
Yeah. So here's what I say about phosphate control. Most of the consumers and the professionals in our industry don't spend money for no reason. It's not cheap. And if it wasn't doing anything, I can assure you they'd cease using it for whatever reasons they use it for. But yeah, I think that's been the age-old question. My pool is balanced. My pool is good. Well, how could I have mustard algae? How can I have – you're telling me it's good. I walk into your store. I give you a sample. You say, hey, my parameters are correct, but yet my pool looks terrible. I remember one day I was in Florida at a retail store, and I was parked behind the building, and I was leaving. And as I left, this guy came out, the homeowner, and he was really kind of PO'd. And I looked at him. And I said, hey, so you look like you're unhappy about something. What happened? He said, well, I came into a professional store to get advice because I have algae in my pool. Nobody asked me what my pool looked like. They tested my water and said it was good and sent me home. And I feel like, you know, I'm frustrated by that. And I said, well, you probably should be. It would have been nice for the fellow testing or the person testing your pool to find out why you were there. And they didn't. So balanced water, good water, whatever that means, doesn't always mean anything. So I think sometimes it's just a process of eliminating other things. Like I said, the distracting factors, like, you know, suntan lotion and chlorine or not, it's not a perfect match to oxidize. It can, but it takes huge amounts to do that. So there's, you know, enzymes go after suntan lotion and non-living organics, which is one less thing for chlorine to have to climb through to get to the target, which is killing the disease that hurts people. So I think the main way to look at additives in general is to get the cobwebs out so that you can get on with the business of killing the things you want to kill as quickly as possible. So if you interfere, it's like a football game. If the lineman steps aside, the running back gets clobbered. And so we got to get the lineman up front, making sure that there's a place for that person to run in order to accomplish the goal. And so getting rid of things is equally important to ultimately making water safe, which chlorine is the item that makes the water safe.
Why do you think that back in, you know, you're an old timer, back in the 90s, early 2000, no one talked about phosphates. It was kind of like something that wasn't mentioned. It wasn't really anything that we talk about. And still today, a lot of pool pros, I would say, don't buy in the phosphates as being an issue in a pool. what changed over the course of the last few years to make, you know, phosphate testing in pool stores? Phosphate removers are in the forefront. When you walk in a pool store, they're right there in the front, you know, in the window. What changed over this last few years versus 20 years ago?
Well, it's the way the EPA has drinking water treated and some of the habits that were created and the additives that were put in at drinking water that we didn't 20 years ago, quite frankly. And that's evidenced by, for example, our sales in places like Mexico and other countries that have less sophisticated water systems. We don't have much of a phosphate control demand in Mexico. We sell a disproportionate amount of enzyme because of the waste that's in the water, the carbon waste that's in the water, that's prevalent everywhere. The drinking water, I don't know, 15 or so years ago, the whole chloramination started where combined chlorine purposefully ammonia was being added to chlorine. And as a result, it was more corrosive. And then it required that there have other, you know, it's kind of like your health as an old man, right? You take one pill that creates another reaction that you didn't intend, but you had to do it to stay alive. So in order to have water where they wanted it, they put phosphate-based sequests in the drinking water, which suddenly hyper extended the amount of phosphates that were in the water that were not naturally occurring from all the normal ways that phosphates accumulate through plant life and the likes. So it's an artificial infusion and a habit to meet EPA requirements for corrosion control and other things that cause these products to be added to water. Simply stated, 20 years ago, it's in the water to really care to manage them. And the level that are in today, and phosphates are cumulative. So there is a lot more in the water than there were 20 years ago, and it's being forced into the water by the water system. So thank the watershed management systems for causing this problem. It's not imaginary. And it's more than us just making a living getting rid of them. So, and quite frankly, it's evidenced by the habit of the user, right? When you suddenly use a product and it works, it's not voodoo. So I think that it was artificially created. And it has to be artificially removed as a result of that. So that's the reason that the old timers like me, Gray, don't, you know, and I don't know if you're really gray or not, David. I can't tell in the video you're not. So I thought you were almost as old as me. But
I turned 50 this year, so I'm kind of like on the board of an old timer.
Yeah, you've got 15 years to catch up to me. So yeah, happy hunting to you. But anyways, it did change. So it's not your imagination, old timers. We did treat water differently for a reason, and we were handed different circumstances that we now have to manage. And it's almost a universal concept that watershed systems controlled by the EPA are largely going to have phosphate-based sequestrants put in them because chloramination has caused an elevated level of corrosion in the infrastructure. So that's the answer to that question. It did change. It's not imaginary.
And I think a lot of things change in the industry, because I can go think back to 1988. I was 16 and I was starting with a family friend in Orange County here in California. And his method was you would get a case of liquid chlorine, you would leave it at the customer's house. Then I would pour the chlorine in when I was there during the week. And tablets weren't really being used anywhere near as much until, you know, the mid 90s, I think. And it was a different way of doing things. We never really used algicides because the pools were balanced. They had cyanuric acid levels of 30 to 50 parts per million. And we just add liquid chlorine every week to what we needed to. And things seemed easier back then before that. And I think maybe we'll move into that direction again. I know that here in California, we have HASA, or actually the West Coast, and they're getting labels ready for liquid chlorine bottles to leave at the customer's house, like put this in on Wednesday, like a little sticker. And I think we moved away from the right way of doing things at one point and moved into the easy way of doing things in another aspect. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And I've been, I'm a good friend of Chris Brink, the chairman of HASA. He's a good guy. And we've been talking for years about this. And I've encouraged, I've been beating on the table, and I think it's finally being listened to, that all we've needed with bleach is a way to dispense it in the pool are somewhat arbitrarily in between visits. That's why the tablet was invented, was to extend the weekly visit from a biweekly visit or twice a week visit. So they tell me that the new liquidator that has just come off the press has improved a lot of the deficiencies in the old administration system, but no different than a 320 chlorinator, inline chlorinator for tablets. We have no idea how much chlorine we're putting in a pool based on the number that we calibrated to. We're guessing. So the best way to calibrate reaction is ORP and administration based on demand. But second to that, and that's expensive, the second to that would be some way of dispensing sanitizer between visits, and the new liquidator could accomplish that, where you can actually put a subscribed amount or prescribed amount of bleach in a pool on a daily basis, and or have it open in such a way that it just administers a slight dose of it all the time. Less than perfect, but certainly better than accumulation of cyanuric, and no less scientific than a current inline chlorinator with a dial on it. So I think that you'll soon see a remedy coming to you soon that will allow you to dispense a certain amount of bleach into the pool on a regular basis without attention. I'm not in favor of the idea of giving products to consumers. I think it devalues service. I think it runs the risk of them thinking what we do is less important than it is. I think having a way to dispense it automatically, even though it's not perfect, it's better than nothing. And it's certainly better than accumulating large levels of cyanuric in the water. So I think there is help on the way. It was slow to come, but I think we're close to having a mechanism to dose in a more crude way a certain amount of unstabilized chlorine in the pool, which I think will solve a lot of problems. But I'm not in favor of, you know, I tell this story. So years ago, one of my techs was cleaning a filter, and he left a note, and I happened to see it because of electronic, that said, "Hey, when you come home, add DE to the filter," which of course I blew the top of my head off when I saw that. So I said, "David, why?" Not you, David, but a different David. I said, "David, why did you leave that on the invoice?" He said, "I was out of DE." I said, "Are you trying to talk yourself out of a living? I don't want my customer to go out and put DE in his filter. Go over to wholesale, pick up the necessary component that you should have had in the first place, and go back and recharge that filter and take that off the invoice." So he did. But the point is, the more things that we know how to do and we protect our consumers from having to do and understand, the more value we have. And I'm very concerned as an industry that we look for shortcuts, we look for remedies that easily can be found by the consumer given the current availability of information, just like this podcast. And suddenly you become less important. So we need to be the diagnostician that administers, you know, I mean, anesthesia without an anesthesiologist is a dead person. So we need to be the anesthesiologist of the pool. And the more we rely on the consumer to do those things, and for those that want to, that's great. But why are we dragging people into a process that don't want to be in there in the first place? So leaving behind a gallon is a troubling notion to me. Mm-hmm. I'd much more be in favor of having a liquidator type product out there where I can put it in the pool and it can dispense no more sophisticated than the current inline chlorinators, for which there's thousands of in the marketplace for Trichlor. So cheers finally to HASA for coming out with that liquidator soon and improving some of the glitches they've had with it in the past. And if somebody figures out how to do that effectively, it will be a change agent. And to back up about your earlier statement about our treatment methods, remember, David, that some of those pools you and I were treating 30 years ago had copper plumbing. So part of the sanitation system we didn't know about was the erosion of that copper in the water through wear and tear that was providing us additional benefit we didn't know about. So our copper-based algicide was coming off our infrastructure and not off the additives we were putting in the pool. So we had something helping us we didn't know about.
Yeah, true, true. And I think, you know, the end of this podcast, and you're going to stick around, we're going to talk about other things. Just to give an example, let's say that you're a pool pro and you test the pool and it has a phosphate level of 1,000. You're having algae issues in there and you don't buy into the phosphate thing and you just try all different remedies. I can guarantee you that if you put a phosphate remover in there, like the PR10000, it's going to move the needle for you out there because, like you mentioned earlier, if the product was just snake oil, you wouldn't be selling it off the shelves the way you're doing now.
I'd rather you spend the money on dinner out with your wife or husband than spending it with us if it wasn't necessary, but it is necessary in the overall treatment scheme. And I think what we're trying to do, and this is kind of the philosophy of Orinda, is we're trying to extend the worthiness of a single visit. And the more things we can get to get us over the edge, to give us another day of peace and clear water, is the goal here, right? It's like you treating a pool that is, for example, is a commercial pool and it has a bather load on Sunday of a zillion kids. You know that feeling when the pressure is high and the water's cloudy and it's trickling through the filter system. So I think what we're trying to do is give grace to the service professional by aptitude, knowing that if you eliminate these factors like suntan lotion and phosphates in the water, then you get a little extra time and a little grace in between the time that that pool looks great and the time that pool flips. So, you know, my main encouragement in this podcast with you today is it's a call to action for you to become more knowledgeable about the why and not the what. Get off the what, get onto the why, and then convey that information to your consumer, because that's where you're the trusted professional that's going to gain your equity and the value that you need to have in that backyard, is explaining to your customer not just what you're doing, but why you're doing it. And stay away from the quick solutions, because quite frankly, and I think you feel the same, David, most of those quick solutions have unintended consequences, or they're not quite as quick as we think. And it's not without consequence that we do those things. So if it's that easy, then your customer would be doing it and you would be in a different profession. So aptitude is something that no one can take away from you. And it's something you can sell to your consumer that adds value to you more than anything that you do.
I think you hit on it right, you know, right on the head there with that, because I think that's the key of this podcast, is that find out how to manage the pool the correct way, or actually find out why you're doing what you're doing. And that will move the needle on the fact that you can get through this crisis without a lot of problems if you actually know what's going on in the pool. Yeah, this brings up just something I thought about, is my radiator fluid kept on leaking, and they couldn't find a leak. I took it to one mechanic. He couldn't find any hoses leaking, whatnot. So I finally took it to my Nissan specialist, and he found that the radiator fluid is going into the oil, you know, in the engine. And he basically told me that I had a crack in my engine, and that's why the fluid, that's where it's going, is going into the oil, and no one could find it. And so that's a good example of someone who knows, you know, why something is happening, where other mechanics couldn't figure out, you know, looking for hoses that were cracked. And that translates into the pool, is why are we adding a sanitizer? Why is the sanitizer not effective? Why is a high cyanuric acid level causing algae in the pool? All these are things that the Arenda Academy, and I'll throw it out there again, it's arendatech.com, could help answer with your articles and videos, and of course the Arenda Academy itself. And I think, I really thank Arenda for going the extra mile to focus on education and not just selling their product. I mean, I had you on here to talk about your product, and I don't think you even mentioned it. And that's kind of how you operate.
I do quite well on purpose, David.
Yeah. And I think that's how you operate. And it, you know, it's one of those things that people don't know about you, is that you're not a salesman for your product. You don't have to sell them, I don't think, because people that know they work, they work. And I thank you for that. And for focusing on what is important, is why things are happening in the pool.
Well, one thing I would like to just continue to promote is, a lot of times we don't like talking about things because we don't feel comfortable knowing it in depth, and the fear of not being able to answer that one question, right? Kind of like when I go teach people in our industry, there's always that person in the crowd that's going to try to trick me into what I don't know, right? I always try to focus on that person, because I figure if I satisfy that person, I'm satisfying the things that are in the back of others' minds. But what I want to say to you is, as a professional, you don't have to know this dose and verse, right? It's important that you be a resource, and that if you don't know how to explain something or you're not comfortable explaining it, go to that website or go to our app, go to the videos, input the word that you want to discuss, find that video, and that video has a shareable function. And this is the important thing to do. If you, rather than embarrass yourself talking about something you're less familiar with, which everybody has that problem. I just talk about this all the time, since it's all I do. But if you share that video that explains it, now you have somebody else doing your work, and you're not going to get caught up in your words trying to understand something that you don't totally understand, and you're not supposed to. It takes time to get these things accumulated. So if you have an issue with a customer that you want to discuss with them, and they're challenging you about that discussion, find the topic in the video section of your app and send it to them right there while you're sitting there talking to them, and they can watch it for themselves. And then you together can watch this video, and now you have shared something with somebody that's added your value that had nothing to do with anything you do. Mm-hmm. So use those videos and those blogs to explain things that are more complex that perhaps you're uncomfortable talking about. And the more times that you hear them, you'll finally get it. Nobody gets anything once, okay? That's the reason we allow you on Academy to keep playing these videos over and over again. No one goes to a seminar and grasps everything. So use these to your advantage in communicating things to consumers better than you could yourself, and you'll still get credit for the aptitude.
So as you can see from this podcast, Harrell's hands are pretty much tied by the EPA. Basically, as a chemical manufacturer, you can't state that your product is quote or unquote an algicide for many reasons, mainly because of the regulations that it has to go through EPA approval to be an approved algicide. But I can say that in the field, using a phosphate remover and an enzyme weekly in the pool as a maintenance dose does definitely prevent algae from growing in the pool. By using the phosphate remover, you're actually removing the food or one of the food sources of the algae and thereby killing it. Well, not killing it, I should say, thereby starving it because it doesn't have that food source. And so it definitely will help in that respect. And with the enzyme and phosphates combined, you're allowing the chlorine, you mentioned part of that, you're allowing the chlorine to be more effective and to do the work it was designed to do, which is killing bacteria and microorganisms. And in that respect, it also prevents algae in the pool since the free chlorine level stays higher. And if you've heard any of the other podcasts that I've done, you know that the free chlorine level is everything in preventing algae. And so you want to maintain that free chlorine level to the point where it has the killing effect on algae. And so the phosphate remover and the enzymes will help you do that and make the chlorine more effective. And that's why I call them chlorine enhancers. And this will definitely help you if you're struggling to find an alternative to trichlor, or if you're just trying to fight algae in the pool when you're coming off of trichlor. All these are definitely factors that are going to come into play as you're switching out your pools to another type of sanitizer. And definitely go to the Arenda website to take their courses there. Again, everything is free and their app is free. So I encourage you to do that. If you're looking for the other podcasts in this series, go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. And on the banner, click on the podcast icon. That'll take you to a drop-down menu of the podcasts I recorded. And it'll have the other episodes listed there. And if you're in the service business and you want to enhance your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. There's a lot of great benefits for joining there. Again, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.